program. And our last presenter is Kyle Clark. Kyle works for the University of Texas. He's an assistant director in New Student Services. He has been teaching for us for a couple of years, very generous with his time. You know, most of us work in the municipal court system one way or another, and Kyle has offered his services. He does do trainings for cities. He will come out in his consulting business, and any of you have difficult employee-type situations in your office? Any conflict? So if there those are, so for those
none.
Of us,
no.
Yeah, there's no conflict, but he does go in and help with teamwork issues and things like that. But for those of us perfectly functioning, you know, Kyle is going to work with his students. I want to say that y'all have just been great. This is our last regional of the year, and it is really nice to come out to Odessa. Whether you're from here or not, something about landing in Odessa just makes you nice. And I appreciate that. But Kyle also, in addition, back to Kyle, is he is an awesome DJ. And I've got one unmarried daughter that I've already, as soon as they tell me the date.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Please welcome Kyle Clark.
Although I have not worked in the municipal courts before, I have had to visit from time to time. As many people have. So this is the last session before we travel or stay wherever you all are from. And it's also right before lunchtime. So I'll do the best I can. All right. I want to open up with a quote that I like to use all the time. And it's one of those things that's, I think, easier said than done, but simply states that my job is to make your job easier. Your job is to make my job easier. So there's this idea that in teamwork, that we are always working to sort of help the other person with efficiency, with making sure that they have opportunities to complete their job and to do the things that they need to do at a high level. If that's how I show up to work every day, then hopefully I can create a sense of accountability for my coworkers to do the same for me. If you think about it, out of that 168 hours of the week, if you take away the little sleep that we get, we spend the majority of our week at work. I hope that all of us have good working relationships with the people that we see pretty much all the time. If we don't, then that's something that we should actively be working on. It should be a goal of ours because that's where we end up spending most of our time. How many of you in the last, let's look at the last 3 months, have had trouble sleeping because you're thinking about work? All right? How many of you in the last 3 months have had work come up in one of your dreams? That could be good, bad, or indifferent. We're not sure. All right? How many of you have gotten up in the middle of the night with an idea about work, or you got up in the middle of the night stressed out about work? So your sleep was interrupted, and you were thinking about a deadline. You were thinking about that person that came to the counter that scared the mess out of you. Think about the person that came to the counter that you wanted to reach over the counter and put hands on, or whatever the case may be. Right? A lot of us, we end up having work sort of bleed into all other areas of our life. If you think about the little time that you have at home with family and with friends, and you add sleep time, right? All of that combined gives you your work week. And if the majority of that is spent thinking about work, whether it's in good thoughts or not good thoughts, then there are some things that we need to do, in my opinion, to try to lower the stress level that we have while we're at work. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, this idea of managing our stress through teamwork to create or maintain a better work environment. So we'll see how that goes. There are two times that I feel stressed. This is from a comic strip, Day and Night. And so that's kind of that idea of, again, if you are sleeping, having trouble sleeping, thinking about work, if you're dreaming about work, there's probably some things that we could and should do to sort of lower that stress. The difficult thing about stress is it's not necessarily like a headache or a cold or a sinus infection or a bloody nose or a paper cut. It's not something that's always visible, tangible, something that you say, ouch, this hurts, let me put some ointment and a Band-Aid on it, or let me take a pill for it, or let me go lay down and rest for it, or let me go to happy hour and drink my pain away, all right? It's not necessarily something that we can just easily sort of depict. Stress is something that also manifests itself very differently in each of us. So we have people, hands up if this sounds like a person that you know, maybe you can include yourself or not, it's up to you, right? So we have people that deal with stress by sort of lashing out at other people, right? So if you've seen that before, hand up. Or we have people that when they're stressed out, they completely shut down. You ask them a question, you can't even get an answer. They start mumbling and they keep to themselves and they sort of just kind of implode. We have people that when they're stressed out, that's when they start to get really hyperactive. And they sort of infringe on your own workspace and they talk really, really fast and at a high pitch. So there's different ways in which we manifest our stress. Most of the time, people are not going to walk in and say, I'm very stressed. You're going to see it, you're going to feel it, you're going to hear it before they'll acknowledge it. We also have that most people will manifest their stress. You'll start to recognize it, but then they won't admit, what are you talking about? I'm fine. Are you a little stressed out today? I'm good. Don't lie to yourself or to me, right? It's pretty evident that your stress level is elevated. So we'll talk a little bit about sort of how to recognize that and how to work through it. So a quick survey that was done actually earlier this year. National survey conducted by the National Life Insurance Company said 4 out of 10 employees state that their jobs are very or extremely stressful. I apologize. Can you all see this kind of okay? You've got the slides there, but let me move this out the way. So 4 out of 10, I think, is a pretty high percentage. And I think if you look at the different ways that you could define very or extremely, there's not that much different. We know that that means elevated or high elevated level of stress, 4 out of 10. How many of you work on a staff at your court, 10 or fewer? Okay, 5 or fewer, all right? How many of you is just you and a judge, all right, and a police chief maybe, okay? So if it's just you... then you're probably, one out of one or half of you out of one, depending on the day or the week, right, would probably talk about your job being very extremely stressful. I would submit that I think that those of us that work in service-oriented profession or the helping profession, which I think the municipal court is such, that a lot of times our stress level could be elevated just because of the people that we're working with, right, because of the folks next door. All right, are the judges here? Is this just a regional clerks? Are the judges here? They're here, yeah. So let me keep my voice down. Okay, all right. So 4 out of 10. I like quotes. This one is somewhat meaningless. There is no I in team. There's an E and an A and not an I, so we should probably work together. A lot of us have heard that sort of cliche that there's no I in team. My only problem with that is I am included. If I'm working on a team, then I am included in that. This is a bad joke. It didn't go over very well. Moving on. Thank you, Kat. See, we could have, maybe talked about that after the... I should go to another joke. Well, at this point, I should just remove it. Yeah, I think when I created it, I was like, oh, this is so funny to me. See, that's the thing about jokes. When it's funny to you, you got to test it out. See, I've tested it out. This is like my 8th presentation. I'll get rid of it. Not a problem. I'll get rid of it. So my stress level is elevated all of a sudden. So in presentations, make sure that you test your jokes on friends and family before you. All right. So going back to the presentation. One of the most important things that we don't do is to recognize when we're stressed. Again, it's something that by the time you recognize or someone points it out, you're already sort of activated in terms of how you respond to stress. So I think it's important that we recognize stress when it's happening. It's more important that you recognize when you're stressed versus someone else telling you. Because really by then it's kind of too late. Then we have to realize that stress is kind of a part of our work day. It's a part of the moment that we're in. It's really important that after you recognize it, that you realize that, okay, I'm stressed now. This could have an impact on my work, on the people that I'm working with, on the customers that I'm working with that are coming up. And so then the next thing that we have to do is to respond to the stress. There's a lot of different ways in which we respond to stress. Some of it can be healthy. Most of the time, we don't respond in healthy ways to stress, right? So how many of you, you quickly look for a cup of coffee or Diet Coke or chocolate or something to just kind of, that's going to help me relieve stress. It's related to food, okay? A lot of us, right? Now, most of us are not going to run for a pear or a banana, right? Or some edamame or something like that. Most of us are going to grab something that's high in sugar, high in calorie, high in fat. If it has low in the name, then it's high in something else, right? And we have really bad ways to respond to stress. Now, with the exception of, I could make an exception for dark chocolate. It's high in antioxidants, and I think that that might be a good thing. But for most of us, we grab something that's out of a bag or a box, something that's processed, and we think it settles us. It's really just part of a routine, and it's not necessarily going to help us respond to our stress very well. I'm not saying eliminate those things, but maybe we can look for some healthier options. Okay? Quick nutrition lesson. And no, I'm not an expert. I'm saying this out loud because I'm trying myself. Is looking at shopping sort of on the outskirts of the grocery store as opposed to on the interior, which is where everything is packaged and bagged and boxed. I've heard that a lot, but, you know, that's where the sales are too. So we have to sometimes go there, all right? So vulnerability to stress. When I asked you how many of you have had a dream about work or how many of you have gotten up in the middle of the night thinking about work, a lot of times, even if you can say, well, I slept for 8 hours, if it was interrupted by a dream or by waking up, if you toss and turned a lot, and maybe you don't even know it, but you were kind of restless as you were sleeping, a lot of us have a lack of rest, which is going to increase your vulnerability to stress. The next thing is a lack of good nutrition, which I talked a little bit about. I know that, you know, sometimes comfort food is a really sort of good way to kind of try to forget about the day, and so anything fried or, you know, something that, you know, is your favorite, maybe pick up fast food meal that you could grab on the way home. You might think, okay, good, that's settling me, but a lack of good nutrition also will increase the vulnerability to stress. Lack of exercise is another one. Too many stressors at one time. The hard part about your jobs, it's very difficult for you to manage whether or not you have too many stressors at one time. Why? Because you, if it's just you, or if you work on a smaller team, a lot of you have to work with different entities within the city. You've got the judges that you got to work with. Maybe you're working with the police chief. You got people that are coming in that want to stop and tell you their life story. You've got the same person that continues to come in and tries to get out of paying that ticket. Whatever the case may be, it's very hard for you to manage too many stressors at one time. Now, in none of that series did I talk about the administrative paperwork that you have to do, or if you're learning a new software program, if your email's out of control and you're trying to respond to it. Those are the things that really can sort of add onto your plate, and you get a little too many stressors at one time. Another thing is if we don't have a lot of social support from our friends and family, all right? How many of you would say that you talk to family and friends about work from time to time, all the time, most of the time, right? How many of you have now realized that when you come into a room, you start talking about work, that somehow everyone just seems to get up and leave, right? What you don't want to do is to clear a room, right, by coming in talking about work or complaining about work. Or you don't want to talk about work or complain about work all the time to family and friends, because then it starts to be more of a broken record, and you might even have someone on the other end of the phone that'll put the phone down, continue doing what they're doing. What happened? And continue doing what they're doing, and they're really not actively listening to you, right? Now, if that's still helpful to you, by all means. But one of the things that we do, I think, to sort of lower the social and family support is by always talking about work. I have a coworker that comes up in conversation a lot. She's not really pulling her weight on the team. I think she needs to move on. She's not a bad person. I think she has other passions in life that she should pursue. I'm just being honest. I really don't think she should be on the work team anymore because she's not passionate about it. She is gone a lot. She has excuses a lot for why she can't be at work. And it's just a reality. And I think she would be happier if she were pursuing something else she was passionate about. And I think our work team would be happier, right? I don't mind being honest. I didn't say her name, but I don't mind being honest. Don't look up on the website and try to look up who that is on the staff. But it is a reality. Another thing that's a reality for me is it's very difficult in this economy for people to keep jobs. I talk to friends every week, and we have the same conversation. They're looking for work. They're trying to make a living. They're having difficulty finding a job. And then I think about my coworker that's not passionate. And I think, you know, there's probably a lot of jobs, whether it's something that you just kind of go to work, do your job, and go home, or whether it's something that you can't wait to go to work because you're so happy and passionate about it. Either way, you know, it's really difficult when you have someone that's not pulling their weight at work, or they're not passionate about their work, or they don't put pride into their work, and there's so many people that I know that are out of work. And I think a lot of us can kind of connect with that. And so I think it's important that, you know, I just have to, on those days where I go to work and I don't really want to be there, or those days where my stress level is really elevated, I need to calm myself down and just kind of keep pushing through because I know that I'm very fortunate to even have a job, okay? The other thing about lack of exercise is what I wouldn't try to tell you to do is to join a gym, get a gym membership and go work out 3 or 4 days a week if that's not part of your routine. If that's something that you already do or that's something you can get to at some point, by all means. One of the things that I try to do to increase exercise, which is really about getting your circulation going, which means that if you have good blood flow in your body that you're going to respond to things better, that you're going to think sharper, is what I try to do. And although it was 107, I think, here yesterday, I wouldn't suggest this, but you know, I'll park a little bit further when I get to work and walk. I tried doing the stairs a couple times. I'll tell you that quick story. I work on the fourth floor of the building that I'm in. And it's one of those, it's a five-story building, and so it's like a flight and a half of stairs per flight of stairs. So I tried a couple times walking up the stairs to 4. Didn't work. It took me about 15 minutes to catch my breath. And I work in one of those jobs, as soon as they see you, it's like, ooh, look, we got this, and I need this question answered. And so I wouldn't suggest taking the stairs. But if you can try to fit a little bit of exercise. I actually love Super Target and Super Walmart and HEB. I don't know if you have HEB up here. Because those are such big stores, what I'll do is I'll walk every aisle. You have to have a certain level of discipline when you're walking every aisle, if you're a shopper. But those are a couple of the things that I'll try to do just to get, you know, the blood flowing a little bit more. Or if you eat lunch, how many of you eat lunch and then the rest of your day you're just tired, you're ready to take a nap, you want to go to sleep, right? Probably some of the foods that we're eating are weighing us down a little bit. If it's, you know, if it's not high in nutrition and it's high in other things, it's probably weighing us down. But what I have tried to do on occasion is to just maybe a 10 or 15 minute walk after I eat lunch, again, to get the blood flowing. And it does help. And then at 2:30, I crash again, and I'm ready to go to sleep and end my day. But it's something that can kind of keep us going. So just like you have to put gas in the car, you have to change the oil, you have to rotate the tires, you have to do those things to maintain the car, or the car won't go, our bodies are the same. So that's my kind of plug about exercise is you don't have to be a gym rat, you don't have to be someone that's super fit, but you do need to get that circulation flowing as much as possible, right? Also, is anybody here sort of new to your job within the last year? Okay, so we have a few. So what I want us all to do, whether you're new to your job in the last year or so, or you can remember when you were new to your job, right? It takes a while to learn the job. It takes a while to get comfortable. It takes a while to figure out the processes that, you know, you need to implement to make things go. If you are supervising someone new, if you have been supervised before when you were new, just sort of think about that and remember that your stress can be elevated if you're not patient to the process, if you don't remember that everybody was new at their position at some point. Even if you've been there for 15 or more years, at some point you were new, and at some point you were probably a headache for somebody else. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it takes a while to get someone. If you've been there for 15 years and you have someone new that comes in, let's say it's a new position on top of that, both of your stress levels are going to be elevated because you have to share space and time, you have to get someone trained, you have to, and they're trying to learn not only the job, but they're trying to learn, you know, how you function as the supervisor or person that's been there for a while. Those are the things that if we don't actively talk about, if we don't remember, if we don't pay some attention to, our stress level will be elevated. The effects of stress, some of this I've talked about already, and so I'll go through these really quickly. And I'm going to focus on the behavioral. So physical effects of stress, it could be anything from the little eye muscle that twitches, and you're like, uh-oh, I need to go lay down. It could be something like your hands trembling, or you might feel, some of us have, whether it's really mild or even severe, maybe panic attacks, and so you have a very physical, visceral reaction to stress. There's also mental ways in which we, when I talked earlier about how people sometimes will shut down or how they'll start to talk really fast and get really hyper, there's those different things that we do. For some of us, it's emotional. We go from zero to angry really quickly, right? Or emotional, we might have someone that the stress is high enough, they might emotionally want to break down a little bit, and they may have tears, or they may start crying, or they may have to get up and sort of walk away and calm themselves down. I want to focus quickly on the behavioral effects of stress. There are some of us that have worked with someone for, you know, maybe 2 or 3 years. They might have been the nicest person when you met them, and all of a sudden work has leaned on them to the point where their behavior is completely different. And they might even seem like a different person to you, right? So you may have someone who is really short-tempered, not really social, doesn't want to talk a whole lot, right? And so their behavior has changed, and it very well might be an effect of stress at the workplace. There's a couple of important questions that you have to ask if that's a coworker of yours. How am I, or how could I, be contributing to that person's level of stress? So again, if they're not very social to you anymore, if it's just like, we got to work together, so let's just get this done. When 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, it seemed like you all were best friends, then I think it's important for all of us to ask that question of how may I or could I be contributing to that person's stress? That's going back to this idea, right? The second question that you have to ask is, what is going on? And you may have to ask that person directly. You know, I've noticed a change in how you come to work. Be careful about not sounding judgmental about it. You know, I've noticed that your behavior has changed and you seem like, you know, you're a grouch now. You know, there's a little judgment right there, right? It seems like your behavior has changed at work. Is there anything going on? Is there anything I can help with? Again, going back to this. So you want to sometimes notice and name things, but you don't want to put judgments to them, right? Because it could be something that someone's dealing with outside of work, right? That's a whole other workshop, if you will, talking about how stress outside of work, at home, with family, with friends, you know, with health issues that we have going on. And as we get older, our health changes. It declines. As we get older, we see more and more people that are close to us, you know, have health issues or move on. My father always said, and it makes sense, you know, son, as you get older, you're going to see more and more people will pass away. He said that when my first grandmother passed away. And, you know, you're very young age. You don't really understand that. As you get older, you start to see it more and more. And so a lot of us are dealing with so many things at home. And it's hard for us to come to work and to be up, right? But it's important that we don't put judgments on it. It's important that we don't pry. We don't try to get into everyone's business. But if someone says, I have a lot going on, take their word for it, right? And do what you can to support them. I think at some point we're all going to be in that position where we're going to need someone else to kind of pick us up. Stress personified, all right? It's important that we prioritize our work. Sometimes we have to just do a first things first and get to things when we can. It's important that we find healthy ways to communicate with our coworkers, right? I kind of talked about earlier in the last slide, really what I'm talking about is this idea of direct communication. And so not going to your coworker that's a friend of yours or someone outside of the office, But sometimes just asking that person, hey, what's going on? How are you today? You know, can we talk about how things are going between us? The direct communication is very important. We can't talk about work all the time. I've already mentioned that. When you bring the work, the stress of work home, right, you're not giving yourself a break. You're not giving yourself the chance to recharge, to sort of rejuvenate, and to come back. Sometimes the work is difficult. We know that. You're going to get to work. You know that things are going to be stressful. So do the best you can to separate. That work will be there when you get back on Monday or the next day or after if you get to take a small vacation. Okay? Talked about the direct communication already. Okay, so hopefully there are some handouts in your packet, hopefully after the last slide. There it is. It's called the overload exercise. It's on the back page of the last set of slides. There are, I believe, 10 questions on there. Or maybe it's on the back. I'm sorry. Maybe it's on the back of, It's on the back of the last sheet. There's a sheet that says motivating coworkers. It kind of looks like an hourglass. On the back is it's not a quiz. I'm going to call it a quiz. It's not really a quiz. There are 10 questions. And so for each question, it's asking if that's a way that you feel, always, seldom, never, that sort of thing. So you'll answer each question with a certain value. And then you'll calculate all of your A's, all of your B's, all of your C's and all of your D's after the end of the... Okay, it looks like everyone is done. Does everyone add everything up, have a score at the bottom? Okay. If you are still working on it, no worries. How many of you scored between a 10 and a 19? Okay, that's good, 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 good. How many of you scored between a 20 and a 25? Okay. How many of you 26 and higher? Well, looks almost about even, all right? So this is unscientific, so don't take this to heart too much. In terms of overload, 26 and up would put you in a high category, 20 to 25, moderate, 10 to 19, and a low. What this brief exercise does not account for is whether or not your quote-unquote overload is completely self-inducer if it's due to other folks that you work with. Okay, so again, I think that if you're in the high, it might also mean that you have a lot of different things that you're juggling. Maybe you're asked to take on some additional duties. Maybe you're doing literally two different jobs. It could be a host of things. But I do think it means that as time allows, when you can, if you can, to try your best to look at some ways to alleviate stress. Because I think it at some point it's going to take a toll on us. Some of us might be dealing with stress all day, every day. We don't necessarily realize it. 5 years down the road, you might go see a doctor, and a doctor has some news for you that's related to stress, and you might be confused because you're like, well, I feel fine, right? And so it's important that because stress is so invisible, that we are sort of actively trying to combat it as much as possible. So we'll talk about some stress busters. I think I've got some communication ideas for you all that's actually not in your slides, and we'll be done shortly. Okay. So I think it's important that we make a manageable list of goals. Right? How many of you still make a to-do list for the day or for the week or something like that? Okay. Manageable list is important. In college, I used to make a to-do list every day. I would even color code things. I had the little pen where you can switch between the inks. I don't know if they still make those anymore. Now I try to be real bougie and I buy gel ink pens only. I got my own job now, my own money, so I buy gel ink pens. And so I'll write that to-do list. I'd fold it up. I'd put it in my pocket, put my backpack on. I'd go about my day. You know, in college, you're running around. Maybe you only have two classes, but, you know, you come back at 10:30 at night, you're like, I've been so busy. In college doing nothing. I get back, take my backpack off, take my keys out, pull out that to-do list, unfold it and looked at. I've only done two of the 15 things that I've put on that to-do list. One of the things that I didn't do is look at the to-do list throughout the day, Another thing that I wouldn't do is account for, if I have planned my day minute by minute, I don't account for seeing somebody across campus. Hey, how you doing? Hey, what's going on? A little 15-minute catch-up. Or I need to go to office hours. I get to office hours, there's a line because everyone else is struggling in the class. I didn't account for certain things. And so my list was not manageable. Even now, I still struggle with putting too many things down on a to-do list. And then at the end of the day, I don't feel successful. I don't feel like I've achieved much. But it's really not because I'm not doing what I need to be doing. It's because I'm trying to put too much together in a short period of time. So it's important we make a manageable list of goals. The 24-hour rule. This might be the one thing that I want us to want you all to walk away with. Okay. Again, I work at UT. I do orientation programs for new students. We have about 1,200 students each week with us, new students, new incoming freshmen with us each week for 6 weeks. So 7 professionals in the office can't deal with 1,200 students without some help. And so we hire about 95 or so student leaders that work with us. It's kind of a live-in position in the summer. And so what we have for them is the 48-hour rule, but that's because it's live-in. With the 24-hour rule, I modified it a little bit for this. And it simply states that if you have a problem, you have an issue with someone, it's asking you to address it within 24 hours. Okay? You break that down a little bit. It's asking you to address it, not to solve it. There's a huge difference between the two. But the 24-hour rule is, I think, challenging us to sort of deal with things in real time and not let something fester and build, right? Some of you have been a part of this sort of work dynamic issue that I'll talk about really quickly. We have 2 coworkers in this scenario that have been working together for 4 years, and they have been bitter work enemies for 3 of those 4 years. They can't stand one another, and if you were to rewind to 3 years ago, it could have been something really, really simple that happened between those two. They never talked about it. They never addressed it. And it's now become a 3-year problem. After 3 years, it may or may not be repairable. It could have been something as simple as I was talking to someone at the counter, came and interrupted me and kind of took over. And now whenever they come in, they look for you, and I felt belittled by that. That's really not a small thing. That could actually be a very big thing. But if those 2 people didn't talk about it and address it, it's now become this 3-year problem. Right? So some of us have been on the receiving end of that. We know how that feels. Some of us have been on the other end of that, and maybe we don't even know that that's something that happened. The 24-hour rule is asking that you address something within 24 hours. If it happens on a Friday, wait till Monday, that's okay. But it's this idea of saying, this is what happened. This was the impact that it had on me. I wanted you to know. You don't have to necessarily talk about it. You could also say, I want to talk to you about something that happened earlier. Do you have some time later today? Do you have some time tomorrow? Do you have some time next week? Right? Now, if you're on the receiving end of that, someone comes up and it sounds like a 24-hour rule thing, what we can't do is to try to make it about us. Well, let's talk about it right now. If the person said, can we talk about it next week, they don't want to talk about it right now. So it's important that if you're receiving that message, that you're patient to the process and you're not sort of rushing to fix something. That's something that I still have an issue with. I've had several women say that that's kind of a man thing. We want to fix everything. We want to put a Band-Aid on it. We want to patch it. We want to sew it up. We want it fixed. It can't always just be fixed, right? It might be something that, hey, some wounds you can't put a Band-Aid on or it won't heal, right? So it's that idea that we can't sort of rush to want to fix something so that we're not the bad person. Too often we get defensive. We struggle with things because we don't want to be the bad person. Not saying you're a bad person. We're saying this is something that happened. It had an impact. I want you to know. And for me personally and professionally, if I don't know I'm doing something wrong, right? I can't fix it. I can't adjust. I can't change. And if no one tells me, I'll probably continue to do it. So both on both ends, we have to be willing to give democracy. We have to be willing to compromise. We have to be willing to reach each other. The 24-hour rule pushes us. It challenges us to start to address things more in more real time or quicker. All right. Don't forget to schedule time for you. Find creative ways, to relieve stress or to get away. For me, it's music and driving. I love to drive, but you all know about these gas prices, so I have to just listen to music in my car in the parking lot. That's what I do now. But there's this idea that there are some real simple things that I do to try to relieve stress. The easiest thing you can do is to walk away from the situation, not in the middle of it, you know, if you're dealing with something, but sometimes to just go have your lunch somewhere else. Or sometimes when I get to work and I know it's going to be a long day, like I said, I'll park my car and I'll listen to music. I'll, you know, turn up the windows. I'll turn it up quite a bit. And I'll listen to music for 10 or 15 minutes before I walk in. So then I feel like I'm, sometimes it's Eye of the Tiger, Rocky type music, kind of gets me pumped up for the day. And then after 20 minutes, I'm like, oh, I'm struggling. But there are little things that you can do. Now, for some of us, again, it's been grabbing that chocolate bar, grabbing that cup of coffee, that sort of thing. But if it's 11:30 and you've had 4 Diet Cokes, then that's not helping you with your stress, right? And so we got to find some healthy things that we can do to try to alleviate our stress, all right? If it's 2 o'clock and you've had 6 cups of coffee, the coffee's not helping you stay awake anymore, right? It's just really become sort of that mechanism that we think stress, cup of coffee, I'm good. You're really not. We have to do some other things, okay? Learn to say no and not stretch yourself too thin. If we go back to that issue between the 2 coworkers that have worked together for 4 years and for 3 years have been bitter work enemies, it could be because you didn't say no, you took on too much. That other person was like, well, hey, I'll just give this work to Kyle because he's not going to say no, whether that's maliciously or not. You know, someone keeps putting work on Kyle. Kyle doesn't say anything. He does it. He gets irritated. They walk away. He gives them the glare. Things just happen, and now 4 years later, I can't stand that person. But I know that every other day they're going to come in and say, hey, can you do this for me? So it's important that sometimes we say no and not stretch ourselves too thin. Also, it's important that we get rest and relaxation. How many of you have tried to take some time off? You've tried to get away, but when that cell phone rings, you answer it, right? And you're never away. You could be on a real vacation, like you flew somewhere, or you got in the car for hours and hours, and you drove somewhere, and a cell phone, and you look at it, and you go, and you answer it, right? I've always, now my line of work is different, but I've always told people if it's that much of an emergency, you need to call 911. There is nothing Kyle can do about it if it is that much of an emergency, but at the same time, I'm still that person. Hello, this is Kyle. I will answer the phone because I also struggle with thinking that the wheels are going to fall off if I'm not there, right? I take great pride in my work. I think all of us in this room do. But we have to understand that things will still go as planned sometimes when we're not there. And it's okay for us to, from time to time, not be there. There was a student affairs administrator at UT doing orientation before me. There's going to be plenty after me. So I can't get little too S on my chest, you know, think that I'm the only that can make things happen to where I'm always answering the phone, I'm always involved. I did it yesterday, my whole plane ride over here. Stopped in Dallas. I'm text messaging all my coworkers. Did you all do this? Did you all do that? They'll be fine. And if it gets to that point, call 911. There's nothing I can do, all right? Work out to help you work. Again, in terms of circulation, blood flow, which is going to help us think sharper and do things more efficiently, it's important that we find ways to work out. I have a gym membership. Do I go often? No. Certainly don't look like it, right? I don't go very often, but it's important that I try to stay as active as possible even in the workday. I will have days where I'll look up, it'll be 2:30, and I've been sitting at that chair at that computer the entire time, right? Those of us that have, and I think for a lot of you too, we work in what we call sedentary jobs where we sit at a chair, at a desk or a cubicle most of the day. It's not good for us at all. So sometimes we just get up, walk to the other end of the hall, and walk back. And even that can be helpful if you do it several times throughout the day. Right? Food for thought, eat. Some of us, when we get stressed, we overeat. And then there's some of us, when we get stressed, we don't eat enough. My coworker put a sign on my door. It's kind of a joke, but kind of not. It says, "Have you eaten lunch today?" I'm one of those, when I get stressed, I don't have time to eat. Now, I won't tell people that because they'll give me the look, but in my head, I'm thinking, I don't have time to eat. I got to get these things done, right? Just like a car. You can't say, well, I got to get to this appointment across town. I'm on E. I'm just going to drive, right? Because what's going to happen? The car is going to stop at some point. And it'll stop where you're not even close to a gas station, right? So we don't want that to happen. We have to make sure that we're eating, okay? Our bodies are probably the best machine on earth, and we have to take care of it. So we have to fuel it. We have to take care of it. We have to feed it. That's important. Be creative with how to have fun at work. We like to prank each other. My coworkers and I from time to time. We all have that work personality, though. So if you're a prankster, but you don't work with anyone else that likes pranks, you should find something else to try out, all right? Because the pranks aren't going to... And don't prank the people that come to the counter. That's probably not a good idea either, unless you know them. But try to find creative ways to have fun at work. Because you all are going to have stressful days. You're going to have deadlines that you don't feel like you can meet. You're going to have pressure from the judges to do this. New legislation is going to come in. It's going to ask you to change a process or try to create something new. You might get new software and you don't know how to use it. Why can't we stay with the old system? Whatever may happen, we have to try to have fun at work as best as we can. Important that we relieve stress and not relive it. Okay? Very important that we do what we can to relieve the stress. Okay? The other thing, again, I like quotes, and so we're almost done. Instead of taking criticism as a knife to the heart or as a personal insult, you take it as an opportunity to review and improve your performance. Kind of like I said earlier, I think it's very important that people actively give me feedback so that I can be a better coworker, so that I can be a better professional. So at some point, someone will recognize my efforts and give me a raise, for goodness sake. All right? So it's important that when people give you criticism, even if you don't like how they give it, is there something in there I can use to my benefit? Is there something in there that I can do to make my job performance look better? And I think it's important that we take constructive criticism. If you get bad criticism or you don't like how you got it, what can you sort of throw out? And then what can you keep? Okay, so on the other side of that overload exercise, kind of looks like an hourglass, is this motivating coworkers handout. What I'd like for you to do is to quickly kind of read through that and see if you can circle, highlight, underline, whatever, one or two things that you feel like you can commit to doing in your work environment in the next month. One or two things that you feel like you can commit to in the next month in terms of motivating coworkers, or yourself if it's just you. Again, I think this is a handout that feel free to share with your coworkers, with your supervisor. It goes back again to this idea of my job is to make your job easier, your job is to make my job easier. Let's work together on doing that. I'm going to give you some good listening skills and kind of skip over some things really quickly. And don't even worry about reading this, I'm going to paraphrase it. In terms of good listening skills, and I'll quickly go over the bad. When someone is talking to you, whether they're asking you to do something, they're giving you feedback, whatever the case may be, it's important that we apply good listening skills. So for some of us, what we don't do is ask for clarification, right? You want your directions or your directive to be clear. If a supervisor is not giving you clear directions, you're probably going to go in a lot of different ways. So it's important that sometimes you ask for clarification, right? Which you might be able to do by restating it. So if I hear you correctly, you want me to do, restate it. Or if they're really long-winded, to paraphrase it. Okay, so if I break this down, basically you want me to print and fax something for you, or whatever the case may be. All right. And then sometimes it's important to kind of reflect on what someone's asking you to do in terms of good listening skills. Let's see if I can quickly go back to the bad listening skills. Why? Because it's fun to look at. All right. And this is what most of us do all the time when we're trying to listen to someone. We fake attention, right? So for some of us, especially for the people that are long-winded, such as myself, or that talk a lot, we just kind of nod our head and we smile, do the things that we need to do so it looks like we're really paying attention, but we're not, right? The other thing that we do is we listen too fast, because how many of you in the room are like this? You can't wait till they stop talking so you can get your response in, right? A lot of us do that. A lot of us will avoid difficult listening. If someone is talking about a complex or a difficult subject, we'll kind of tune them out, right? And then some of us, we criticize delivery, right? So again, instead of looking at the whole picture, throwing away what's bad, keeping what's good, we'll sort of criticize delivery and say, you know, they have too much attitude in their voice this morning. I'm not listening to them, you know. Maybe there's something good that we can take from it, right? So, or for me, I struggle with becoming too easily distracted. I have a very short attention span. I think my supervisor knows, has figured that out after 8 years. So if it's something really important, instead of trying to tell me and be long-winded, she'll email me and be very direct. So it just kind of depends. But it's important that we sort of apply good and bad. We apply good listening skills and skip the bad. Okay. So again, in closing, the work is going to be there. The stress will creep up from time to time. So rather than run from it, let's figure out how we can work through it, how we can solve it, how we can address stress. Which again, like I said at the beginning, it's kind of difficult to do, because stress is not something that is always standing right in front of you. It's not something that you can easily see, that you can easily tangibly address. Sometimes things, it creeps up and you don't necessarily know that it's there, all right? So it's important that we understand that. It's important that we understand this. And I think that through teamwork, we can decrease the level of stress that we have in our already stressful work environments and just have a better work environment altogether. Thank you all for your time. Have a safe travel back wherever you go.